as we connect with this simple practice, simple aware of what we can learn to trust this simplicity. Sometimes Sayadaw points out, he says, the meditating mind is simple. It's only the simple mind, the simplicity of the mind that just meets experience, that can see, learn, and grow in wisdom. I'm paraphrasing. Whatever is arising in this moment, this is the path. The Dharma is found here. We don't have to wait for some special experience to come along. To see, to have the possibility to see and understand that experience is impermanent and unreliable. Every moment, there's the opportunity for us to understand the nature of all experience. What is already happening? It is arising based on conditions. It ceases based on conditions. Understanding that conditioned experience is conditioned can be very freeing. Can we trust this simple awareness? With this awareness, this simple recognition, this is what's happening in the present moment. This is a happening in the present moment. Wisdom strengthens understanding, grows, that radically transforms the mind, supports the release of greed, confusion, aversion. And sometimes we don't see this transformation happening. Often we don't see this transformation happening. It can be a very gradual transformation, a gradual letting go. We may not see a change moment to moment, or even day to day, or week to week. And so, with this trust of this simple awareness, patience is also support. Each moment. Of this simple awareness. Supports the possibility of freedom. So I wanted to start this afternoon by following up on a couple questions related to the conversation from this morning. The first one is about impermanence. I notice that I'm expecting arising and passing to look a certain way or be experienced in a certain way. One way I know I'm imagining it should be is that an object is supposed to come in on the left, flow through, and leave on the right. Could you talk about how you experience arising and passing? There's a lot of different ways to experience arising and passing, and what I'd say is happening here is that the mind has created a perception or an idea around which it's experiencing the experience, this notion of location of experience coming in one side and leaving on another side, going from left to right. You know, that sense is and I as you point out in the question, you know that because it seems like it's coming in on the left and going on the right, that's clearly a construction. So, you know, that is obviously an idea that's laid on top of the experience. And so first of all, I'd just say, notice how you're experiencing it and that this concept, that this is a concept. I think you're aware that the idea of experience arising on the right, on the left, and going out on the right is an overlay. And so just notice that is an overlay, that's a kind of an extra concept, and see if you can begin to let that just be there and see what the experience actually is that's arising and passing. Sometimes it can feel like experience has a location. So sometimes it does feel like when there's an experience of arising and passing and it's happening in a particular location. But awareness itself doesn't have a location. And so the experience, sometimes it can just feel like, the mind is right inside an experience as it comes into being, like you're watching a world being born. But that's just one way. I mean, I'm a little hesitant to describe a variety of ways because, you know, these are the ways my mind understands this experience. Be curious about the actual experience of arising and passing. Now, there's also other things that might happen. You might sometimes notice kind of the arising side of experience and not see the passings. So you might see that something's coming up and then you see another thing coming up, but you never saw that thing going away. Or you might see kind of the middles of things and then another middle, but you haven't really seen it arising and passing. You're just noticing that the mind is knowing something different now than it knew a moment before. But you may not have seen it coming and seen something coming and going. Or you might just notice that something has passed. And then the next thing you notice is something else has passed and something else has passed. So the mind can orient towards different aspects of impermanence. So just be curious about how the mind is noticing impermanence. See if there's any more to say about that. I think the what you've noticed here is actually a clear seeing of that the mind is assuming or attributing something to how experience comes and goes. Just notice that that's an attribution. It's a perception. You probably can't stop that from happening. But you can notice that it's an add-on or a another thing about perception. You know, perception's kind of an interesting aspect of experience, and we haven't talked too much about it. But you know, we recognize experience. I've talked about that recognizing aspect of experience. We recognize objects in the room based on history, memory. We recognize states of mind based on having experienced them in the past and given them a label of some kind. In our meditation practice, a lot of experience comes up that we perhaps might not be so familiar with. New experiences such as experience arising and passing in different ways, or perhaps various states of mind that are unfamiliar. And in the absence of our minds having a clear memory or something to say, oh, that's what that is, the mind will do its best to apply some prior information to this. And so in this situation, you know, things, I don't know, perhaps in your life, you know, things have, maybe it's from reading from left to right. You know, we read the page from left to right. Maybe that kind of the sense of information comes in the left and then you go to the right. I mean, who knows? You know, I'm just making that up, but maybe there's some aspect of the mind takes information from left to right. That's just how our mind is kind of trying to understand the process of what's happening in this moment. So there can be a lot of kind of odd experiences of perception. I've experienced at times, like, you know, something, like sometimes these random images come up that seem somehow related to what I'm experiencing, but that are just weird. Like, I remember one time just very vividly seeing this ball bouncing through the window. And it's like, it seemed like some kind of a coded meditation instruction or something. You know, just, it was somehow kind of the mind applying its understanding of perception to this experience that it's never had before and creating some kind of a identification of it. In some weird ways that can happen. So Mike, that's probably what's happening around this left to right thing. And just notice that it's just a perception. It's just a perception. And as the mind can begin to tease apart the perception from the experience, you might begin then to just recognize how you are actually experiencing arising and passing. Then a question about anicca and anatta. Well, actually more anatta, not self. It's easy to appreciate anicca, impermanence, but not anatta, not self, in daily life. One can keep reiterating that things are not self, as they are not under control, but in reality, the view of self is very strong. One can try convincing oneself that a particular body shape is just body, and underlying this veneer, there's just organs. But this knowledge seems to be more intellectual than rather a deep penetrating truth. How do we cultivate this not self? And I would reframe that question, how do we cultivate the understanding of not self? We don't cultivate a not self. Not self is a description of this being. It's not a thing to cultivate. The understanding arises as we begin to see our experience. And I'm going to answer this kind of briefly, actually. I'm currently in the process of doing, on Thursday evenings, a series on conversations about this teaching of not self. And so a few have been recorded, and I'll just be continuing this over the Thursday evening sessions. But the key that I'd say, or the first piece I'd say, is that, well, some of what you've described is kind of using reflections, using wisdom reflections. This is not self, especially when we notice the uncontrollable nature of experience. Anytime there's a sense of frustration that things aren't going the way we'd like them to, it's usually a pointer to not self. You know, it's like, yeah, the mind is frustrated because it thinks things should be going a certain way. It's got an idea that there should be some kind of control, and that control isn't there. So when you experience that kind of sense of uncontrollability, or the sense that I can't make things be the way I want them to be, that is actually a teaching. It's a pointing to the truth of not self. The frustration is arising from resisting that truth, from believing in the sense of self. So that's one thing to explore. And the Buddha did encourage us to use reflection. This what you describe here is reflection. And we can bring reflection in to kind of support wisdom to penetrate, to be for the mind to kind of maybe take it in a little bit. So the Buddha does often say to us, he says, we should notice experience as not me, not mine, not who I am. And this is in quotes when he says this. This should be seen as, you know, the arising of bodily sensation should be seen as, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not who I am. And in quotes, meaning that we should reflect on that, consider that. And so it is offered as a reflective practice. So when there is a sense of self arising or a sense of identification arising, we can use that as a reminder, right? This is not me. This is not mine. But as you say, that's more at the reflective level. It's not at the insight level. The insight into not self is an insight. It is something that comes with exploring experience. The Buddha offered a teaching to one of his followers, Bahiya, and I might have mentioned this the other day. The teaching he offered to Bahiya was really simple and very much in the line of what we're doing here. In the scene is only the scene. You should train yourself. In the scene is only the scene, and the heard is only the heard, and the sensed is only the sensed, and the cognized is only the cognized. That's how you should train yourself. Train yourself to know experience as experience in the present moment. Know that seeing is seeing. Knowing that a thought about what is seen is a thought about what is seen. Knowing that feeling is feeling. Knowing that a response to that feeling is another idea or another activity of mind. So this is the practice that we do, just this very simple, bare awareness. This is the training. What we were doing is the training. And then the Buddha goes on to say to Bahiya, when that is the case, when for you in the seen is only the seen, and the heard is only the heard, and the sensed is only the sensed, and the cognized is only the cognized, then there will be no you in terms of that. So the sense of self doesn't arise in relationship to that experience. When there is no you in terms of that, the Buddha goes on, there is no you there. When there is no you there, there is neither here nor yonder nor between the two. This is the end of suffering. And so he points to this understanding of not self as a result of the training, more than something we look for. We can't really look for not self. If there's a me searching for a not self, that's a self. The Buddha listed a number of ways in which we identify the self, I have identities, and one of them is something like, with this self, I will see not self. That's kind of what that is. That's another identity. And so it really is, it's kind of a trust in a way that just the simple awareness begins to reveal this nature of our human being as just processes, conditions tumbling on. And the piece, a piece that I would say is a useful exploration, is not to try to see not self, but to try to get really familiar with what you are taking to be self. Identities, the feeling. What is the feeling of the sense of self? What are we taking to be self? Get really familiar with that. As you start to explore the ways you hold a self, construct a self, those identities, as you start to explore those, you'll see they change. They kind of come into being and they fall apart. There's nothing stable there. At one point, I kind of had this understanding that what I call self, there's a whole bunch of things I call self. There's this sense of self that comes up with this situation, and this sense of self that comes up with that situation. And they're just a whole bunch of really familiar contractions. They're just, you know, things arising that are very familiar. Oh yeah, that's me. So that's a key. And this is summarized really beautifully by a Zen teacher, Dogen, who has the beautiful phrase many of you have probably heard. To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be awakened by all things. Again, the practice is to be curious about what we, the study the self, study what we think of as self. Be curious about that. It will begin to show you through the exploration of it that it's not what you thought it was. It's not stable. It's not solid. It's not something that's here. It's just a set of processes coming and going. Particular flavors of identity often that we get very familiar with. So I'll save the chat here, just make sure that I keep these questions. But I want to offer the opportunity. There did seem to be some interest a couple days ago in doing another round of the small groups. So I'd like to offer that that opportunity again now. And just a couple reminders. This is a chance to describe, this is a chance to kind of play with that self-reporting practice that we've been talking about or exploring a little bit, to explore or try to describe some aspect of what you've been noticing in your practice, in your daily life, perhaps something small that you've noticed that you were aware of, what you noticed, what happened as you noticed it, you know, how it supported your practice, where you might have missed something, in this kind of reflection back on looking at the experience while speaking about it from a Dharma perspective, you might notice something that you missed. And then you can describe, oh, and I see now that I missed this piece. This is something I can learn from this this situation. And if there's a particular situation around it, just a reminder, you don't need to describe the content of the story in this context. The context could be useful to kind of set up. I was on the freeway driving the car. Somebody did something that created fear and anger in my mind. So you set the context up enough so that we know, like, maybe something about the situation, and then explore how you worked with what came up for you. There may have been thoughts, there may have been emotions. Was the mind able to hold it? Was the mind caught by it? Did the mind get caught by it and then notice it later? What happened? So that kind of exploration in this self-reporting practice.